As we're going to jump right into it right away. And here's the deal. This is going to be a two-part sermon. We're going to do a little bit today, and we're going to do a lot of it next week. And so I just want to let you know the Bridge series is about the relationship series. So for what it means is everybody has bridges. Everybody needs to get to the other side. Everybody, even in our relationships. Now, what's interesting right now is I'm doing a lot of pre-marriage counseling and a lot of marriage counseling. Here's the problem, what happens. The bridge is sometimes people think, well, we got to get ready for the wedding day. When I do pre-marriage, here's what I tell people. Spend more time on your marriage and less time on your wedding day. Because just because you get married doesn't solve everything. Is this true? What you got to work on is the marriage itself. Like, let's spend time working on the marriage. And marriage doesn't come natural. Commitment doesn't come natural for us. Relationships, honestly, don't come natural. We need to work at it. And so the bridge for us, last week we talked about we got to burn plows. There's things in our relationships that are unhealthy, and you can't bring everything with you. I just talked to a person this past week about this who doesn't go to this church. And I was talking to them, and they were talking about how they still have like stuff from their previous relationships in shoeboxes under the couch, and they're married. And I'm like, burn it. Burn it. Get rid of it. What are you going to show your kids someday? Yeah, this is so, and doesn't matter. Burn this stuff. And so many times in our lives, we keep on carrying this stuff with us. Now listen, there is sometimes pain and hurt that we carry with us. We sometimes carry relationships with us. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you are not your past. You are not, that's not who you are, because God is saying you are a new creation. And so this whole Bridge series is about us kind of just bringing those relationships to a different level. And the truth is, it's about being built. It's about building these things. And so if everybody can just stand up, we're gonna dive into this scripture. And today I'm just going to change this up a little bit because I want us to catch something here. It says Joshua 3, 6 through 8. And here's what it says. It says, Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark. And I just want to let you guys know this. In the Old Testament, the ark is where they actually put the Ten Commandment tablets. It is actually significant because here's the deal. When you think of the ark, most of us probably think of Indiana Jones, right? You think of the Ark of the Covenant, right? That's where, but it's similar because here's the interesting thing. It says, wherever that signified God's presence. The interesting about it is that wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, that's where God's blessing went. So they would lead in the battle carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and if you have the Ark, guess who wins? Right? Like they said, even land and produce and everything, whatever country was in, that area was blessed because God's presence was there. Isn't that crazy? So people were fighting for the Ark because they wanted the blessing of the Lord. So the priests were carrying the ark, and there's even stories, if you carry it wrong, you know, one guy tried to catch it and was smited, and it's crazy. But think about this. It says they were carrying the ark. The priests were carrying the ark, and they said, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. It was his mentor, and he says, I am with you. Tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When they reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go in and stand in the river. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, as we are in this presence, there is people here today that, Lord, I just pray they're standing on the edge of the things of you. They're standing on the edge, and Lord, here's the deal. You have promises for each of us. There's things that you want to give to each of us, but we stand on the edge. And I pray today, help us to surrender, to give these things up. And Lord, to lay these things down in Jesus' name, amen. You can grab a seat. Today is kind of an introduction, and here's what it kind of is saying, I just want you to let you know a few things. For instance, when Moses was leading the Israelites out of slavery, the irony was this, is that These people were slaves in Egypt. The Israelites were slaves for hundreds of years. And then God wanted to bring them out, so he sent a guy named Moses, who didn't think he could do it. He started this process to bring the Israelites out. But interesting, as soon as he brought them out, they had to go through the Red Sea. So at the Red Sea, most of you know that Moses took up his staff, raised up his staff, and the seas parted. What's interesting about it is that there's many layers that coincide between Joshua and Moses. For instance, Moses is the one who mentored Joshua. But because the Israelites, now check this out, because the Israelites could not get, even though they were no longer slaves, we talked about this a few weeks ago, even though they were no longer slaves, they couldn't get slavery out of their hearts and mindsets. Because here's what God said to Moses. You're not going to just leave slavery. You're going to go into the promised land. Now, here's the issue I think a lot of Christians have. Even though they are free from certain sins, they're still not walking in the promises. Check this out. The Israelites could not enter the promised land because they were still stuck with the mentality of the old mentality of saying, this is just who I am. There wasn't new and fresh for them. Even though they were no longer slaves, they complained about the slave mentality because they would go to Moses and say, where's our food? Where's our water? Where's our stuff? And they would even say, at least when we were slaves, we had food and water. And so many times we look back and say, well, at least, and we say, it's so hard to trust the Lord. They could not get that captive mentality out. So here's the problem. They were supposed to go to the promised land, but instead they spent years and years marching around the same mountain because they couldn't figure out what God had for them. Now listen, they were given the promises, but they never entered the promises because they couldn't get out of the mentality. Anybody with me so far this morning? They couldn't get out of the mentality, so they were stuck with unmet promises because they were stuck in the old mentality. And so God raised up this youth pastor named Joshua, and God told him, he says, one generation's going to die, and you're going to lead the next generation into the promised land, because God said none of the people in that generation, not because they're old, but just because they had the slave mentality, they couldn't move on. So then Joshua raised up this new generation, and all of a sudden God says the promises are still true. There's still a place I have you called the promised land. Let's just get to the other side. Let's just get there. So just like Joshua and Moses, he says, just like Moses had to cross the Red Sea, you have to cross the Jordan River. So one of the first things that happened was your promises is on the other side. You just got to get there. And so Joshua's like, how do we get there? And then we get to this scripture verse, and he says, I want you with the Ark of the Covenant and the priests holding on to it to step foot in the river, and you're going to see some miracles happen. You're like, that's crazy, because all Moses had to do was lift up his staff and the waters parted. Then they marched into the, now let's check this out. The waters parted and then they marched into it. But when he came to Joshua, he says, I want you to first step into it and then I promise you the waters will part. I believe this is where we are at. Because the question comes as this, who's waiting on who? Because sometimes, now listen, this is very important. I think it's important for us to wait on the Lord, but also at times, I think we do so much waiting and not enough stepping, and God is just saying, dude, just step out. I'm waiting for you to move. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not seeing, because I think what happens is a lot of us are just waiting for this magical thing to part, for God to just open this up. And God is just saying, it's going to part. I'm just waiting for you to step into it. Because if we keep on reading, here's what it says. And it says in Joshua, it talks about 3 verse 17, moving on, it says, the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan River and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing dry ground.
It says that when the priest stepped foot into the water not only separated, but it dried. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's some facts. It was at flood stage. That means the river was overflowing. It was no low. They couldn't go around, and there was no bridge to go over. It was so wide they couldn't go around. The Jordan River's boundary between the wilderness, it's separated. Now listen, it separated the Israelites from the wilderness or desert from the promise. It's 200 feet wide, and the river is 150 miles long. They couldn't go around it. There's no bridges. The only way across the river, check this out, was through the river. The Jordan River was the thing that separated them from 400 years of God's promises. The Jordan River was one of the last things that separated them from God's promises. For me, I wrote this down, the Jordan River equals the separation from us and from God's promises and God's fullness. 400 years of slavery and 40 years in the desert, and they were now on the edge of just, they could see the promises. Check this out. 400 years of slavery, 40 years in the desert, and they're now looking at a place that now separated them from the promise of the Lord. They have hoped, walked, suffered, prayed, cried, trusted, regretted, sinned, and they wind their way to this moment. They are here. So here's what I'm going to tell you. We, each of us, and this looks different for every one of us, every single person in this room, every single person out of this room, every single person in your neighborhood and Stillwater all around, we all have Jordan Rivers in our life that we have to cross. And chances are, there's more than one of them. Because we come to a point in our lives where God asks us to step out, and God asks us to do something, and we're like, I don't know. That's pretty deep. It's pretty wide. It's pretty long. Pretty scary. So I'm going to tell you a story. I'm actually going to close with a story, and we're going to jump into this more next week. This past week, I had this amazing privilege to coach church planters, and this is the craziest thing. Honestly, I'm going to tell you this. I was asked to coach. There's about 20 people in this room who are planting a church in the United States this year. And it was my honor and privilege to coach five of these churches that are beginning this year. And so these are all people who God has given them desire to plant a church, and God given them a dream to plant a church where they live or someplace different. And so it's my job as a coach. This is very beginning. They haven't even started raising support yet. God has just given them a dream and a vision. So when I come to the table, I'm like, what's your God-given dream and vision? They're like, this. And it's like, they're on the edge. This is what they're doing. They're on the edge. And they're saying, how do I get over there? Sometimes I have no clue how you get over there. Just because we plant a church doesn't mean I have all the answers. I met one guy, one family, who is called to go to Provo, Utah. He's a Protestant believer. He's called to go to Provo, Utah, which is the Mormon capital of the world. I'm telling you, this is what he told me. He says, you have a better chance of finding, percentage-wise, a Protestant in an Arab country than you do in Provo, Utah. And I'm like, wow. I said, how are you going to do it? He goes, I have no clue. I said, I have no clue either. He's like, we're just called to go. And I'm like, dude, just go. Let's just figure this out. And I guess other girl, let me check this out. So what's your name? And she told me her name. We were talking about it. And I said, she's a single mom. She has two girls who are in college. So what are you called to do? She's like, I'm from Green Bay, and I'm called to plant a church. And I said, wow. Big, single mom, planted church. I said, why do you want to do this? She goes, well, my ministry is kind of growing. And I said, I need to do something about it. And I said, okay, what's your ministry? She says, well, in Green Bay, the thing I've been called to do is help with sex trafficking. I said, in Green Bay? She's like, yeah. And I said, what does that look like? She goes, well, I have 68 ladies in my group that I help lead Bible studies for who are out of the sex trafficking world. I said, you're lying? Are you kidding? Is this for real? She's like, no, it's for real. I said, how do you find these ladies? I just want to know. Like, my heart is already like my burden is, really? Can you? And I'm like, how do you get these ladies? And this is what she actually said. She says, well, God called me to step out. So I got another friend who's a girl who just has a heart for sex trafficking. We buy some of the best chocolates and candies, and we go to strip clubs, and we just wait for the girls to get done dancing, and I just love on them. I said, what? What do you do again? She goes, yeah, just weekly I just go. And sometimes we just stand outside, and I just kind of wait till they're done, and I just love on these girls, and we try to tell them how much Jesus loves them and how much they're empowered, and God is up there, and he doesn't want them to be doing this, and there's more for them, and they don't need to be. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I said, so why do you want to start this church? Can't you just, she goes, where I live, no, not a lot of churches will take these girls in. And she says, I'm going to do a Sunday night service, and we'll see how it goes. I said, and then we just started talking, each one of these key people, about stepping out. And I even shared with them, I said, we all have a Jordan River. And they said, yes. And I said, you might have multiple ones. And I said, yes. And we're talking about this. And I'm just saying for this church, here it is. We have to be moving. Have to be. Any movement that's not moving, and I'm telling you what happens. This is a freebie. This is not in my notes. We're going to get the worship team up here in 2 minutes. Here's what happens. There's a thing called the Dead Sea over in, you know what I'm saying, over in Israel. There's a thing called the Dead Sea, and the reason it's called the Dead Sea is because it's dead. The reason is there's a salt quantity in the Dead Sea that it doesn't allow any kind of, anybody ever been to the Dead Sea? Anybody here? Yes, yeah, there. I think, Doug, you have too, right? And people who've been to the Dead Sea, they say it's actually really good for your skin. And they actually say it's like, there's a buoyancy to it. It's almost like swimming in baby oil, right? They say it's so amazing. You get in there, you just kind of like bob around, like you can't even sink. Like it's so much salt in it. But that's why nothing can grow, because here's the truth about it. Rivers and stuff flow into it, but nothing flows out of it. Everything comes into it. It's kind of like a swamp. The reason the swamps are pretty nasty is because a lot of things flow into it, but they just kind of get trapped and nothing flows out of it. What you want is a steady stream. What you want is a river. And I'm telling you, that's where we are at spiritually. Because I believe a lot of, if we're just getting poured into and we're just getting sucked, we're getting all these things, sooner or later, and if we're not pouring out, sooner or later, and if we're not as a church doing it or individually doing it, we'll become like a Dead Sea, and we might be good for some things, but not all things. Is that making sense? And I believe in our lives, these next steps are important because it's a movement. Now, the Israelites with Moses had a movement, but their movement was going around the whole time going around, you know, Dan Brian, oh, they come, it's awesome. The whole time they're going around the same mountain. Here's the deal. Joshua had a different movement where theirs is going forward into the promises of the Lord. So here's the truth about it. Next week, I'm going to talk more about the promises, but I'm going to talk about this. Every single person in this room, you have promises from the Lord. You have things that God has designed and destined for you to have, to open up. There are things, and he's telling you right now, he says, it's over there. It's across. It's on the other side. There's things. I got the promised land from you. If you don't have a healthy marriage, I promise you there is a way for you to have a healthy marriage. If your kids don't know the Lord and they're prodigals, there is a promised land over here. There is promises over here. If God has put things in your heart and you made bad decisions and you think, I'm just wasting my life, I'm telling you, when you stand on the banks of the river and you start questioning, and some of you start looking back at the wilderness and is saying, it's kind of easy, at least I know where I'm at. At least over here it kind of makes sense. This doesn't make sense. For me to cross this, it doesn't make any sense. But it wasn't until they got their feet wet did they enter into the promises that God has for them. And here's what I get as a pastor a lot. Pastor, my spiritual life is just kind of blah, blah. Kind of bored. You know, you know what my honest opinion of that is? It's not God's fault. Right? We don't serve a boring God. This is why I get mad at some churches. Some churches are just boring. I'm like, dude, it's just not the way it should be, because if he's not boring, why should we be boring? And if you don't feel that fullness of the God, it's not because he's not trying. It's because we're not stepping out. And that's the truth about it. And what I love about it is just to listen to these Haiti people, how they encounter the Lord. And if you ask anyone how that happened, well, we had to raise support. We had to go on a mission trip. Dude, you took a big step out. Like, right? You just took a big step out. And I think about us saying, well, this is not working, this is not working, this is not working. Are you saying, Jarvis, if I just take a step out, it's all going to work? I'm telling you this. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. You know what's going to heal your marriage? Fall in love with Jesus Christ. You know what's going to heal your work situation that you don't like? Fall in love with Jesus Christ. You know what's going to heal your kids? Fall in love with Jesus. Is this? I know it's token, but I'm telling you straight up, fall in love with Jesus Christ. The biggest step you will ever, 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 ever take is if you step out the boat, you pursue Jesus Christ, and you fall in love with Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not always smart. Lord helps me sometimes, but sometimes I may not have the answer for your situation, which you want me to have, but here's my answer. Fall in love with the Lord. Can everybody stand up? Because I'm telling you, love is created. And the more time you spend with the Lord, not because you have to, not because you need to, but because you even want to, and the more you fall in love with it, I'm telling you that love overflows. It overflows. So the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about how do we cross that thing? How do we cross that divide? How do we go to the promises? And I'm telling you, step one, number one, you do it for the right reasons. Fall in love with Jesus. Do you know why this lady in Green Bay, Wisconsin, is going to the strip clubs? Do you know why she's playing the church? Not out of duty. She doesn't even want it. She even says, I don't know if I'm called. I mean, I'm called to do this, but it's not something in me. And she goes, you know why I'm called to this? Because I love Jesus Christ. And Jesus loves them. You know why my friend is going to Provo? He's going to fight against all the hatred and sometimes just fight against legalism and fight against us, because he loves Jesus Christ. Do you know why you love your neighbors? The ones who, you know what I'm saying, throw junk in your yard or you have loud animals and barking dogs. You know why you love them? Because you love Jesus Christ. You know why you go to work and you used to hate it and you used to drive grudgingly, almost swearing and flipping at cars and getting mad and saying, I hate going to work. You know why your attitude begins to change and you start praying for your people and start walking around? Because of your love for Jesus Christ compels you. That's why. Do you know why you take a risk and step in the water when you don't know if you can cross it? Because the love of Christ compels you to get wet. And I'm telling you, my prayer for this church is this. In the next few months, that we go from playing in the shallow end of the pool to the deeper things of the Lord. Because your relationships need to go deeper. Because your relationship with the Lord needs to go deeper. Because there's another level that God has for you. Everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. Two things. Number one is this. If you're here this morning, and I share about the love of Jesus, and you're saying, I'm there. There's a divide between me and the Lord. There's this huge divide, and I just need to know him. If you're here this morning, and you just want to say, nobody's looking around. You're just saying, there's a divide between me and the Lord, and I need to step out. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I see it. See it. See it. See it. See it. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, Help me to recognize you. Help me to know your love. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I surrender my heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your eyes closed. If you're here this morning, simple message, I'm telling you, simple message. If you're here this morning, you're saying, I need to step out. I've been living a little bit shallow, and I need to go this deeper place, and I need to fall in love with Jesus even more than where we're at right now. No one's looking around. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Let's just be honest in this place. It's awesome. Just put your hands down. Look up here. You know how you go deeper? You don't even need me. I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to speak to you. Sometimes it might just be in your own spot. We're going to get back into worship here. It might be coming down here. Whatever it is, but I'm asking you to respond. Responding is important. And it might be taking a knee. It might be just saying, God, lift up your hands. Because I believe those are all those physical responses are physical next steps that we can do into get encounter with him. And so I would love to pray with you. I'm just saying more than anything else, just respond to the Lord. And if you raise your hand and says, Lord, number one, I don't know you. Start raising your hand and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to surrender. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I need to take a step. Lord, just to say, how do I take that step? And let the Lord begin to speak to you. Amen. So let's get back into worship this morning and just worship.